Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. So happy to be with you here this Halloween week, the end of October. Very exciting. We're back finally. It's been 3 years since we were back in the same spot?
Since you haven't been traveling like to two cities a day?
Yeah. Holy cow.
Hardest working man in show business now is Tom Papa.
And you too. Going up there and fighting bears in Alaska, it's been a crazy, crazy run.
No, I was in Mexico since you saw me.
You were?
Hawaii and Mexico. Yeah, I went to Hawaii the same day you did. That's the last time.
Oh, that's right. That was so bizarre. I totally forgot you said you were going there.
Yeah, I got there like that afternoon. How was it?
It was good. It was really good.
Was it relaxing? Because you're only going there for a day.
I know, but I had the whole morning. I was able to, you know, because I got up early because of the time change.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like right there on the beach. So I had like from 6 o'clock till 11 to just hang. So I went to this little coffee shop that I know there in Kauai. And then I went to, because I'd only been there a year ago.
Oh, you went to Kauai. Okay.
Yeah. Were
so
you?
I flew into Honolulu.
Oh.
And then I went to Kauai the next day. That's right, why I thought I might see you there.
And then, so I just hung out and then went. Jumped in the ocean, that changed everything. As soon as you're in the ocean and looking at Hawaii and being part of the sea,
yeah,
that was like, okay, now I feel like I'm truly like away.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was great. It was really cool. But we've been all over the place, and it's good to talk to all of you. Sorry if my voice is a little rough. We're kind of at the tail end of this crazy thing that led up to Paul and I going and doing the Netflix special in Newark, New Jersey last Thursday.
Which you were fantastic, even though you were fighting something off, but nobody knew until...
Could you tell at all?
No. I could tell like you were concentrating a little bit extra, so I didn't know if it was like in your head to try to... But your voice sounded great the whole time until... 3 seconds after the show was over.
So weird, wasn't it? Literally, I was fighting a cold all week. I had a hard time. I got something, some kind of bug, and my family had been sick, and I went off to Denver and was just fighting. I was just fighting, fighting, fighting. I was taking everything. I was hydrating. And then you're in Denver, which always, I always feel weird there because it's the altitude.
Well, you get ear stuff. I get sinus stuff. You always have ear problems.
I have ear problems, and then I always, my colds manifest themselves by going and dropping in the back of my throat, that post-nasal drip, which is horrible for your voice. Remember the one time we were in Denver and I had no voice?
That's right.
Yeah, man. It's, if I feel that manifesting itself, it starts going in the back, I know I'm in big trouble.
But you were probably the best of anybody I know. Besides, I think you said Seinfeld, right, is never like missed a show because of his voice.
Yeah.
He had to get like that steroid shot once.
Yes, that's right.
But you're pretty good about like being able to focus and like, you know, you took like a 20-minute little meditation thing right before the taping, which I'm sure helped because, you know, all day you're just making decisions on what to do and all that kind of stuff.
I was breaking every trick out. And then when I was in New York, Colin told me to take a Fireball, which is this from Juice Press, which is cayenne pepper, ginger, and a couple other things.
Hmm.
And I mean, I literally was waking up and had to go do the radio show and was waking up like...
That's crazy.
No, man, I'm, you know, only in my head, I couldn't say it out loud, but I was like, I'm sick. I think I'm sick.
Right.
I mean, I'm sweating at night and my voice is sketchy and I'm stuffed up and I got to get to Thursday.
Right.
I got to plow through this. And I just started... I did everything. I hydrated, taking stuff, going to sleep, crashing, I mean, skipping doing an extra show. I mean, I was just trying my very best to keep it at bay.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I just had to will myself through it, which was kind of a curveball because it's enough just to think about your act. Mm-hmm. And now you got to deal with this part of it.
Right.
And I was just going to get through it. So I got through it. And at the end of the second show, my voice started getting a little fatigued. There were a couple notes that I hit I could hear it break.
Maybe, but I don't think anybody noticed.
Nobody knew. Couldn't say it out loud. I couldn't be like, I couldn't, you know. But then literally as soon as the taping was over, we went to meet up with all those friends at the bar, and my voice just left.
I think even in the car.
Yeah.
The car over, like you said something, and we're like, what?
I know.
Sound like Red Fox.
It was literally like my body saying, okay, we don't have to hold on to these vocal cords anymore.
It is such a mental thing, right?
That you crazy.
Just get through it no matter what. And then, you know, because when I worked in TV, there's no, you know, when anchoring the news, you're not calling in sick. You just have to do it.
Yeah, and, right.
So it's like you find a way.
It's so crazy. I mean, you just have to. And and also your head's a little dizzy and you're kind of like all that. But the shows ended up being great.
They're amazing, man. That aside. We did the first show, it was like a 7:00 and they were great. And we felt like it was too much of maybe a taping vibe, you know, because there's so many cameras around and.
It's so funny. You forget that the audience is nervous.
Right. They want to do the right thing.
They want it to go well for you. They want it to. They want to make sure. And everyone's tense.
Yeah.
And I always remember, make a joke about the taping itself. In the set.
Mm-hmm.
I did it at about 25 minutes in or so.
Right. But you were great. You told me about the second show, you were just like, let's just have fun. Let's just do our regular show.
Yeah, let's just go.
And then I don't know if you saw this. So the crowd was like hot. They were amazing.
They were.
Right off the bat. And I was almost going to get off early because they were so good. And all of a sudden, all the lights go out.
Right. That's
right.
Did you
see that or not?
Yeah. I heard the reaction. I didn't see what happened.
So basically, like, I mean, and this is for the taping because whatever, you know, they do kind of a reset for you and they have like special lighting sequences when the special starts. So the guy who was like in charge of resetting everything, he hit that on accident.
Oh my God.
And he apologized to me after the show.
He did?
Yeah, but like you said, whatever kind of makes it not a normal thing, so like, I made a joke about, like, is this a sign from God that I had, like, the greatest set and you're just going to ruin it somehow? Someone just turn the lights off on you?
Yeah.
And so I made a couple jokes about that, and then that made, at least the feeling in the theater was that this is pretty loose and we're all going to have fun.
Yeah. I know. That easily could have made them even more nervous, you know?
Right.
But they were so hot. That one was, if that had happened in the first show, it would have really been a problem because that.
Yeah.
That audience was just a little more tense.
Yeah, and it was early.
It was early. There was tons of traffic in Newark.
Thursday night.
Bless us for wanting to do it in Newark and bring it home to New Jersey, but you forget, like, one of the classic New Jersey things is having to deal with traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I had friends that didn't even make the show because they were just fighting so hard to get there.
Man.
But yeah, if you can just call it out and let them know that you're not nervous and just say, you know, something about the taping.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all being filmed. You can cut anything. You're going to paste it all together anyway. And that lets them off the hook. As soon as you just, I remember that doing television when I would host shows. If everyone's like, and if you just like said, dropped an F-bomb in the middle of rehearsal, in the middle of the taping.
Yeah.
They were just like, and they loosen up and it becomes more fun.
Right.
There's so many lessons to learn and remember, but that is a big one. Always remember the audience is probably a little more nervous than you are even.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't think about that, you know, because, you know, I'm obviously not, my part isn't in the taping, but I'm very conscious of everyone trying to like get their spots, and there's people running around, and they're all looking at them too.
I mean, that first one, you went out, it was chaotic in the beginning, and you totally made them into an audience by the time I got out there.
That was
like really hearing it be like, oh geez, this is,
yeah.
And then by the time you were done, it was like, okay, now we have a show.
Well, and that's the experience of you have let me do the last special. You know,
right.
What I mean? It's like, it does, you know, it's like doing those late night sets. Like if you'd never done one.
Right.
But by the fifth or sixth one, you're like, okay, I know what's good and what's bad and what's unusual and what isn't.
It was pretty crazy. And then, so then I had to leave the next morning. So the taping was great. Everything was cool. We dump off back at home. And then I had to go to Idaho Falls for a show. And now I really have no voice.
Yeah.
And now I have two flights to get myself to Idaho Falls.
That's crazy.
And which you had done with me the 2 years ago or a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And same spot, same hotel, same everything. And my voice was so much worse than it is right now. Like it was
right.
Like really like, you know, and I'm like, oh, I have to just do it. You have to get through it. You got to figure it out. So I just slowed everything down. I did an hour and a half and just really took my time and did all the same stuff. And there were some jokes that hit harder than both shows of the taping. And it like totally worked. And I was like, isn't this so funny? Like, I mean, you can never change it and make a taping as relaxed as Idaho Falls was. But I totally was like, I could go at this pace and have a great taping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I did notice that you never...
So, you know what I mean? Like, if you could have just... I could have totally... It's that after thing, like after you did Letterman, like that next set you do was just, you know, so much fun and so light. All the pressure's gone and just, it was just great.
Well, I remember the day it was after your Live from New York, which I wasn't at.
Right.
I met you in Nashville the next day.
Right.
And remember, it was like the loosest show you ever had because that was maybe your first or second special. So you were like really just doing that set.
Right.
Every day. And then when you got to Nashville, you did like half of your set was like brand new.
Yeah.
Like you were just really just like doing
free.
Whatever you wanted.
It's really, Fortune was saying after she taped her last special that she went out like that next weekend and like forgot her act.
Oh, really?
Like her brain just dumped it, you know, like you just completely, now you just have like all this freedom to do whatever you want. I was like, I'm not going to even shave for like a month. And then, of course, your gross beard comes in. You're like, I'm shaving.
Yeah. Well, what I did notice was, and I did know that you were trying to do this, but did you leave the mic in the whole time?
Yep.
So was that a conscious thing of like focusing on the jokes or?
Well, I've been doing that for the last 2 years touring.
Yeah.
I don't take it out. And I started doing it because I just wanted the jokes to be as strong as possible.
Right.
And I really felt like any other mugging, any act outs were just maybe getting in the way of or enhancing a weak joke.
Yeah. I've always thought that.
I mean, it's true and it's not true. I mean, it's definitely true. You can build up the material stronger that way. If you're relying only on the spoken word, then leaving it in and is going to enhance that and shine a light on that. And those jokes have to be super strong. Once they are strong, though, if you were to add to it and act things out, you know, and be a little more physical with it, that's just another way of communicating, and that could actually make the joke even stronger. But I just got into the habit of doing it and really started to enjoy it. And then all of a sudden you're faced with the special and I'm realizing, oh, no one leaves the mic in the mic stand for a whole special.
Right.
But I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to leave it and see and just keep doing the act. I mean, look, we've been touring all these theaters all around for 2 years. Don't take it out. The act, you know, crushes. It's, you know, standing ovations, all positive. Never taking it out. So why take it out? Why change it?
Right.
And, yeah, I just left it in. I wonder if it'll seem weird.
No, it's I think that's what you notice, especially for me as like a person who analyzes this stuff, because it's like, okay, well, that shot is like, you know, you basically, you know, the mic is down,
right?
So you can see your mouth, but right. then it's basically going to be that, you know, you talking. Because, I mean, it almost is distracting to a point when people don't have the mic at all and they're doing all this stuff with their hands, which doesn't seem natural.
Yeah, like right, exactly.
Like a TED Talk thing when they went to like, a seminar to learn how to speak with their hands.
Yeah. It might be a tricky edit thing.
I don't think so. I mean, I
Because there's some times when I'm holding it.
Oh, okay. Up,
I got both my hands on the mic in the stand. I've got them both on the mic. Then other times I have them off. You know, I do different positions with it. You can cut away and come back. I'm sure that'll be fine. But yeah, I was like, no, these are the jokes. This is the message. This is the act. Mm-hmm. And I just like the simplicity of it. I just wanted to kind of pare it down and just be as simple as possible and as funny as possible without the added stuff.
Yeah, that's what
you
I
talk
was...
for a second. I'm going to throw this cat out a window.
There's a cat that smells. It's. Sounds like a small child crying for a bottle or something, but it's an outdoor cat, so I still hear it inside. This is the cat that disappears for weeks at a time.
Jeez.
I haven't seen that cat in a while.
I watched Pet Sematary the other night with my daughter.
Oh no.
We wanted to watch some fun, scary stuff. And, it was the reboot. They made another one.
Oh, right.
And it's really good. But they have a cat. That's the thing that dies and comes back first.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you bury it, it comes back, but it's not the same. It's got a little demon to it.
Right.
It was like our cat. The demon cat is our cat.
That is the crazy thing about Stephen King books, is that the technology is just catching up to, like, his vision.
Exactly.
Because everything looked so cheap in the 80s because they couldn't make anything as spectacular as the book.
As his imagination. That's a great point. Because a lot of times you would always want them to be great, and their movies were always a little lame.
Well, that's why, there's certain ones that don't make money because they don't have a budget. Like, that's why all the big, you know, like, The Shining, I guess, would be one that...
But that was in the hands of Kubrick.
Right.
Everything else, Christine.
Christine did pretty good.
Christine, they pulled off. Dead Zone was good.
But Maximum Overdrive was the one that the cars come alive. And you can imagine what that would be like now that they did, you know, all these...
It wasn't so hot. The new It was much better than the old It.
Right, exactly. And there's one... did you ever see the one
Cujo
where...
Cujo is pretty good.
Yeah, Cujo is great. The one, it's people in a plane, and they're like traveling through time. Have you ever seen this?
No.
It's I forget what it is, but it is the cheapest looking movie you've ever seen.
Oh,
it's
really?
Just like a little toy plane that's like in a. There's a light over it. It's just like supposed to be outer space.
Oh, funny.
But that's cool. So did it hold up? Is it still scary?
Well, it's the new. Like they said, they redid it. So. It was, it was good. It was really good. It could have been scarier.
Yeah.
We watched also, my other daughter and I watched The Haunting from 1963. And he shot it in black and white. I forget the director's name. And that was really good, too. It was like a little, you know, of course, a little corny at times. But the way he shot things and just the noises behind, like, it's a haunted house. They're all holed up in it, and they're hearing things at night, big bangs. You're really just filming two people in a bedroom acting scared.
Right.
And then you have put in the noise of the boom, boom, boom coming down the hallway, and you're showing that, but the way he shot it was so suspenseful, seeing the door just shimmy a little bit, seeing, like, just... quick angles up to like the corner of the door and then sliding across and then back to them freaking out. And mm-hmm. I mean, it was such an interesting exercise in just how to build suspense and how to make right. something creepy. And, you know, now a lot of times you'll throw in some CG or something like really big and visual to kind of compensate for that. But man, nothing beats that. Nothing beats yeah. that slow burn of a
it's almost like car. Jaws. It's like whatever made you want to see like how big this shark was.
Yeah.
And that they don't show it to you for so long.
Yeah.
But it's just the right mix of like there's a little tease of it. Or,
yeah.
You know how you see like one of those outer space movies and you're waiting to see the alien.
Right.
And it's like turns out to be a super cheap look. And
I know.
Like, oh,
you can go the other way where they don't show you for such a long time. And then then they show you just some guy in a suit. Mm. You're like, oh, man. In The Haunting, you never see anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There wasn't one time when you saw what the beast was or what the ghost was.
Yeah.
You just saw the results of it all.
Oh, okay.
But it felt like you saw everything. It was weird. But yeah, so sorry about that little cat interruption. What were we talking about before the cat? We were talking about the special, going to
you
Idaho
were getting
Falls.
Your voice, so you did
the
Idaho
thing
Falls.
In Idaho. I was also not eating a lot. I didn't drink all of October. I didn't eat cheese all of October.
They gave you like 9 pounds of cheese in the green room.
I know, and I couldn't eat any of it because I had to go on. And so I ate buffalo wings 3 days in a row.
No way.
As soon as the special was over, I just. Yeah, because I've been so dialed in and working out, and I've gained. This is my life now, and this is purely an age thing. All the weight I lost in a month and a half, probably more than that, because I was really concentrated for like a month. But before that, I was knew it was coming, so I was being pretty good. All the weight I lost in that time, I gained back in 3 days. I'm not even kidding. I know a lot of it's salt, and I just went crazy with Cheez-Its at the airport and
right.
just ate chips like crazy. All the crummy processed chips and stuff and orders of buffalo wings. I just was like, I haven't even really drank a lot, but just having that stuff.
Yeah.
Just, I'm filled right now with salt and processed chemicals. So I understand that some of that weight is that, but it's no joke.
Right.
Your metabolism gets so damn slow. And I'm on the Peloton, I'm working out, I'm doing all this stuff.
Right.
Working like crazy and really going without just to get down to this certain weight. And then within 3 days, you can completely, I could literally be 400 pounds. Really?
Well, it is that weird thing of like, that came from like being into sports as a kid. You're like, okay, the more you do, the more you're going to eat.
Yeah.
So like sometimes the less you do, you can not eat, but then you're not losing any weight either because you're just sitting in one place. So.
I know. But once you got like the alcohol is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever you're like, oh, I'm doing everything. Are you still having drinks? Like, because red wine, there's a ton of sugar. All that stuff is a lot of stuff.
Right.
And cheese has always been a big one of mine, too. So I just cut them both out, and I dropped it pretty well. I was down to the weight I wanted to get to.
Well, what did you eat? I remember we went to the Whole Foods right before the special. What did you have?
I had tuna.
Oh, okay.
A tuna wrap.
I was going to say, because
I
didn't even want to eat before the special, and then there was like all this like garbage there.
Yeah.
At the, all the
craft
all
services
Cheetos
and stuff.
And Cheez-Its.
How were the people backstage? Were they laughing during the table?
Yeah, yeah. You were like, and it seemed like a lot of people, because it was like Netflix, people were there, and then there was the Comedy Dynamics people, and then your agents, and
right.
We had your great director buddy Greg there, so that was cool because it felt like a movie. You know what I mean?
Right,
it was
right.
like somebody really knew what they were doing. So,
yeah,
no. So that was that was good. And then, yeah, people, I think you got like an applause at the end of the show, like in the control room.
Right. That's good.
For the first show, even. And then the second one was like amazing. You know, that was great.
Yeah.
That's why I was wondering. I was like, I bet you he's going to go long for this show. But then I didn't realize that you were really like just hanging on.
Yeah. Oh, completely. Even I, again, knowing that it was a taping, I had the last two jokes, two big chunks of jokes, about 5 minutes left in the thing. And I just stopped the whole thing, took a glass of water. It was like going to my corner.
Yeah, and they clapped. They gave you an applause break for drinking water.
Yeah, and then came back and plowed through it. But yeah, I've been eating like crazy. I went back on the bike yesterday just because I had to get some kind of control over it. But I'm just, you know, I don't have to tape anything. So I'm just like... Today's episode of Come to Papa is brought to you by our good friends at manscaped.com. Manscaping. It's important. It's, you know, not something that is usually talked about out loud because we're just hoping that you, as a man, take care of your stuff down there. And it's a little tricky because there hasn't been the right tools to get the job done until now. These guys at Manscaped have it really dialed in. You can take care of your own trimming. You're not going to a barbershop for this. You got to do it yourself. And they have amazing stuff. They've got a great trimmer. They've got Crop Preserver, which is an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer. You put deodorant on your armpits. Why wouldn't you take care of the other parts that you want people to be happy with? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code PAPA at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your friends will be happy. You'll be happy. Your lover will be happy. That again, 20% off, free shipping with the code PAPA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping. Manscaped.com. Use the code PAPA. And you'll be better off for it.
I forget when I almost called you on... I was going to text you on Sunday, but right. I didn't know when you got back. Because I had... That was like my first... Because I had Saturday off. It was like the first Saturday I took off.
Nice.
And I just... I didn't get back until like... I forget. It was like a little bit late. And so I slept in and I just, you know, slept in on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I want that Domingo's chicken parmesan.
So. Oh, you should have called because I got
in. I was going to just order it and drop it off on the way back.
I wanted Domingo's all day.
Oh, really?
I got home at like 10:45 and I just kept thinking about it. And then Cynthia.
Oh, that's so funny.
No, I got home Saturday also. But Sunday.
Sunday was
Cynthia
the day I
drove
over there.
Was flying home and I was using her as, because she was getting in and whether she had eaten. And I kept saying, what about Domingo's? What about Domingo's? And she wasn't picking up her texts. So then by the time she got here, it was kind of all shot. But I was thinking about that place all Sunday.
Oh, I should have called you. I was just going to, I'd be like, hey, what do you usually get from Domingo's? That's why I was going to text you and see if you wanted it.
I would have gone with the spicy Dom.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, it's a good one.
That chicken parmesan is perfect. The bread, the cheese... Even the breaded chicken.
So good. Maybe we should do it this weekend. When do I get back? Sunday sometime.
Well, we just do... Well, you're going to New York.
We have Halloween on Thursday.
Yes. And Detroit on Friday.
What are you going to be?
Well, I took one... I've made one costume visit to...
You have.
I have Halloween Town and just felt the barometer of the...
Sniffed around.
See what was out there.
Right.
And so... Yeah, I'm trying to feel... Last year I was Ric Flair, the wrestler.
That's right, that was a good one.
Then I was Green Lantern the year before, Stormtrooper. So I've gone like personalities.
You've had a lot of good ones.
So,
yeah.
So I'm wondering if I should go like, just the era-wise, do like a 20s guy or cowboy. I don't know.
I feel like I'm not going to... I have this thing with my kids where they order, like, brand new stuff for Halloween. They're, like, ordering all these clothes and stuff just for Halloween. I'm like, we just did what, you know, this old parent thinking, but we're just like, whatever we had, we just put on. You're in a hobo. Shut up and get out there. And I am now faced with having to just take some. I have no time to go to the Halloween shop, so I have to just do that, just kind of conjure something up there from the stuff that we have from past years and stuff that's in the house. And I don't know what I'm going to be.
But you got
to... I could break the puppet out again from last year. People don't want him to come. Last year I had a ventriloquist dummy with me, and I was... he was very inappropriate.
Yeah.
So people have... The family don't want to see him at Halloween.
Isn't he hanging from your closet?
Yeah, he's sitting in there.
Or no, he's out there, right?
No, he's sitting in there. No, that guy, that's just a decoration.
You have two dummies?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was it. Oh.
No, look over there.
Oh, okay.
Don't you remember him with the tie?
Yeah, that one's big.
Yeah, no, that guy, I thought that was going to be a dummy, and it ended up being a decoration. The house looks great at night. It looks really kick-ass. It should be a fun party. I just found the chili recipe, which is
huge. Well, that's the thing.
Look how worn that is. This is like something from the 1800s. It's like the Declaration of Independence. That thing is crusty from all the years of making this chili.
You've got
it's
all
an
the
all-meat chili.
And there's a handwritten note at the end for certain ingredients, or what does that say on the bottom?
I broke it down into departments, so you rather than go through all of the ingredients up top, I broke it down by like the vegetable aisle, the chili powder, what do you want to call it? Spices aisle, the beef.
Because that's
good. I got to get to work tomorrow.
That's what I learned. I told you I read this. I got to send you that article. It's this great article about Tom Petty.
Oh yeah.
And how specific he was about coffee.
Oh yeah.
And that
I'd love to see that.
You know, he went to some place in Malibu, like a diner, and was like, "This is the best coffee I ever had. Take me to the back. I'm gonna buy." He bought like two of the machines that they had.
Really?
And got everything exactly the way they had it, and brought it to his house, and then had like a private chef do an event, and the coffee was even better than it usually is. He's like, "What? You have to tell me what you did."
Yeah.
He's like, "Well, some people kind of like eyeball. I do everything down to like the grain." He's like, "Do everything just like the exact amount that's supposed to be in there."
Right.
And so that was like his lesson of like precision is, you know, especially when we talk about cooking or somebody who's just working on doing this one thing perfect, like that's what it's all about.
That's so great.
And that the fact that it made a difference, you know, that this guy drank all his coffee and then the one day somebody comes into his house and like blows his mind.
It's so crazy. what did Petty die from?
He had, you know, he ended up having that fentanyl thing too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. He had, I forget, he had like hip surgery or something. And he ended up taking, had those fentanyl patches and stuff. So
it wasn't a heart attack. So I'm allowed to have, so I can have a cup of coffee this afternoon.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. If it was a little bit stronger, maybe it would have kept him up. But he was one of those guys. Apparently, never didn't have a cup of coffee in his hand except for when he was on stage.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like always had like when you went to his house. That was the first thing he asked you, and
really?
People loved his coffee too. They were like, "This is perfect."
I'd love to see. I'd love to read it. Did they give any? Do they talk about what beans he had and all that kind of stuff?
I forget, but they try to go back to, like, you know, when you're first starting out, when you're broke.
Yeah.
When you go to a diner and you pay for coffee, they just keep bringing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's, you know, David Sedaris used to talk about that, too. Like, he would just write all night at a diner and they keep filling up your...
Yeah.
Isn't it, what is it, Denny's that they bring you, like, the whole pot?
Right.
And you're just like, all right, I guess I can do this for
a
dollar.
I do love coffee. I really do.
But you don't like that dirt stuff, though, right? Or you don't care?
I don't. No. Once you've, like, broken through and, like, had really good coffee from different places and made it yourself and whatever, it's, you know, a bad... Like, an airplane coffee is so bad.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's one of them, I think maybe Delta, someone's using... They're bringing out little Starbucks cups.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that it's Starbucks coffee. And it's like marginally better. But I think just the water system.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but they just can't get it. I had one flight attendant say that he he was part of the, he was a vet. He came from the military, and he knew how to make it. He was like showing off about it. He was like, "I got it. I double everything." And that one was like, you know, kind of okay.
Yeah.
But there's nothing worse because like you plow through those early mornings, get on the flight, and then they bring you out the, like that horrible. Oh, it's not even coffee. It's like a whole different drink.
Well, that is like the one of the few things that almost made me want to try coffee was him just romanticizing about it.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, it's powerful. It's like in the movies. If, like, anybody in the movies, if I see someone having a cocktail in a like a rocks glass and hearing the ice and the other, I just start salivating.
Yeah.
And coffee. If anybody mentions coffee, drinks coffee, the same thing. It triggers both, I guess, are addictions.
Right.
Right? I mean, there's a reason why everybody's at all those lines at Starbucks. It's it is a heavy addiction. But, man, if I just see it in film, I want it so badly.
Right. But also when you go to, like, in, I think it was in Hawaii. Was it Kona? There's one city there that, it rains a lot, so they grow these coffee beans.
Yeah.
And it looks so much more, like, healthy and natural than, like...
I know everything in Hawaii seems that way.
Yeah, that everything's, like, yeah, it was so...
We should go to Hawaii more often.
I was thinking about that, because I also read Willie Nelson's book.
Yeah.
And he has this, like, you know, like, people don't realize he was, like, a radio DJ, like, morning radio.
Mm-hmm.
And he just went from, like, Texas to, like, San Diego to Portland. Like, he's traveled all over the place.
Yeah.
And so he has, like, he talked about how he has, like, some kind of, like, gypsy blood or something that he can't stay in one place for that long. So he's, like, so he went from, like, Nashville to, like, Texas, and then his other big move was like the first time he went to Maui, he like fell in love with it. So then he lived in Maui for like a few years, and now he has it where there's like three places that he goes back to like every couple months, and that's when he's happiest.
When he's not on the road?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Hawaii, you know, from here it's like going to New York.
Yeah.
And it's such a great place. It's just like, why are we going here?
That was a quick
flight. And when I went to that one day, just taking a dip in the ocean that morning, it was like, that was the thing I really came away with. It was, you don't need a 10-day vacation to come here.
Yeah.
You could literally come for a weekend, maybe 3 days, and feel like you really are recharged and have that dose of that magic Hawaiian stuff.
That's what you feel like, at least reading the book, that's what it felt like it was to him, too. Like, you're just, even a week in this place, you just feel like you're in a different world.
Totally.
And then you can jump back into your life.
Yeah, I always think it in terms of, you got to bring everybody, and it's got to be a 10-day thing, and, you know, it's got to be thousands of dollars. We got to shift our way of thinking. I mean, especially while we're living here.
Right.
You know, I mean... You know, who knows if we'll stay here forever. So, like, while we're living in Southern California, to not take advantage of the places you can hit from here, you know, western part of Mexico and Hawaii.
Well, that's what... When did your flight... My flight left at 11. I was there at 2:30.
I left earlier. I think I left earlier.
Yeah, but it was, like, ideal because, you know, it's a few hours ahead, but...
Direct flights right to all these islands now, it's perfect.
Yeah.
We're going to Detroit this weekend.
Friday.
The Majestic Theater. Very excited for that show. It's going to be a good one. And then live from here in New York on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to go there for one night.
Back to New York again.
Yeah, one night, baby. And then we'll be back podcasting next week from here.
That's right. We got some, I don't know if you noticed, we got some complaints, which we liked that you guys didn't get the episode last week, but I think at least on SoundCloud, we're almost double what we were last year this time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is good. So,
yeah.
We had a lot of, especially for the first, it was the second show I mentioned the podcast, and like everyone started clapping. So that
I
was
cool. I heard that reception. That was really great. The Detroit show, there's still tickets available. I can't tell how many because it's general admission. But people can still get tickets for that. And then back to Cleveland, at Hilarities the following week, which is going to be fun too. It is pretty funny when you do tape, as you know, when you and then you go out and you're like, all right, so I'm going to, the special's not going to come out for a while. So,
right.
But I also don't have to be so tied to this schedule. I can be completely loose. So all these shows should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's what my thing now is, like, you know, what exactly to focus on, like, what, you know what I mean? Because there's times where you're like, I need to do sets every night, and then, like, this is, like, the first spot where I have, like, a few days to, like, kind of focus on a few things that I'm working on, so it's like, what do I do?
yeah. It's almost like when you have too much freedom, you just kind of, like, lock up. I think it's just a matter, you know, it's, I always feel like you just take your time and be, just find the funniest things that you can, the stuff that makes you laugh and makes you want to go up on stage, and don't worry about the big picture of it all, you know, just completely as silly as you can possibly be.
Yeah. But it is funny that, like, I think I've had every day the last few months has been, like, spoken for.
Mm-hmm.
So I told you, like, this 2 days has been, like,
amazing. Yeah. I know. All of a sudden you feel like a kid getting let out for summer.
Yeah.
My book is going to the copy editor.
Oh, no way.
So, yeah. So awesome. That thing's going to be pretty much, I mean, I still want to keep an eye on it and still edit, but it's not like, you know, the hard heavy lifting. That thing's shipped out. These other two scripts are shipped out. Live from here, I've got to get the monologue in shape for this week, but then I'm off for like 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's big.
So it's like the writing, which is always the thing, is all kind of all going out to sea at the same time.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
But it is
crazy. It'll
be
a little bit of a break.
That you had to do 9 radio shows of the week if you're special. You didn't have a voice.
Insane. I mean, it wasn't just the special. You're right. It was 3 days of What a Joke on the Netflix radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Come to Papa Live, the Halloween special, which we're going to post tomorrow or Thursday. We'll post on Halloween. No, maybe we should post it tomorrow. We'll post it tomorrow. We'll just give people this podcast and then tomorrow's the live Halloween special. I had that to do. And there was like all of these things we had to create, and flying in from Denver after doing all of those shows.
Right.
So, yeah, it was a, but I kind of, if I had been healthy, it's cool because you're distracted, you're doing all this work.
Yeah.
That's fine. You know, it's also fun to see all your friends and do all that stuff. But when you're fighting a cold, man, and I never get, and this is probably what I jinxed it, but I never get colds. I don't have colds.
Yeah.
And this one just came creeping in. My whole family was going down, though. Cynthia's been coughing for a month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just been, my other daughter had bronchitis. It was like everybody had something. And I was just trying to, like, my other daughter is like the lead of the play. And I'm just, and she's the only one that hasn't had it.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, man, she better not. We got to make sure that.
You've been away enough where it's like, it was probably good that you weren't here.
I know. But I came in for just long enough to kind of get caught up in it.
Yeah, I've been traveling so much that I have noticed something about the movies of Tom Papa.
What'd you notice?
I've noticed that every movie that you've ever done is on an airplane.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I'll tell you what I noticed. Analyze That.
Yep.
Behind the Candelabra.
Yep.
B-Movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Informant.
Right.
What other? I would say there's like five, and they're all next to each other, too. It's
really?
Crazy. Yeah.
It's so weird.
And I
wish
like,
I was on that flight.
No, I think it's like Delta or whatever.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Because you, yeah, that's a pretty
good.
We'll
be good on it on Friday on our way to Detroit. Maybe that's I'll right. Just like start, watch all my scenes.
Yeah. Is the Rob Zombie movie out now?
Yes. Yeah. Three from Hell.
Considered horror or is that?
That's horror.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm in it for like 10 seconds.
And have you seen, but did you see the whole movie or no?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll check that out then.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen The Joker, so that's something I might
do. I know. Me neither.
I might do that tonight, maybe.
Oh, that's smart.
Everyone's talking
about it. I have a secret. I know. We got to see it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The one, oh, I'm going tonight to a screening of Matt's movie.
Oh, cool.
Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be doing press for it, and he's going to come on the radio show. So they asked if we would go to one of the screenings. That's so I'm going to awesome. See that tonight. That'll be fun.
Yeah, so he's going to do the radio show tomorrow?
No, he's coming in next week.
I was going to say, he's not getting up that early, is he?
No, we're doing a special taping at 1. That show is 7 to 9 Pacific time. And so I'm up at 5:30 and in there early. It's
crazy.
It's insane. I passed out. I had a nap. I came home. I did a little work. I meditated and just went out.
Right.
Didn't even make it through. And woke up just out of my mind. Like, what day is it? One of those naps.
Right.
It just all caught up to me. I was just like so wiped out.
Yeah. But that's good, though, that you... Well, I mean, that's the thing. I feel pressure with the costume because it is like your radio family's coming. So this is something that's going to be discussed.
Yeah, that's right.
So you want to have a good showing.
I know.
So
I know. And we're going to obviously not drink too much because we got to leave so early the next day. I think I'm on the flight before you, by the way.
Yeah, that's what. There's only two direct ones.
I think I'm on the 7.
Okay.
You're coming in, you take the 9.
Yeah. I might be able to change it.
Yeah?
If it'll be, yeah. Because Delta, usually it's like same day. Same
do
day.
Do it. We'll have the production cover the change fee.
No, I think I can do it for free. I just have to until like midnight to, you know what I mean? Like if it's the same day and there's room on the flight, I can change it.
Yeah, because then I don't know how far we are from to wherever the hotel we're going.
I think that airport's like far from downtown.
Is it?
It's like a half hour or something. So
yeah,
I don't know what kind of. The only thing I've been told about Detroit is there's a Coney dog. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm. I was there.
I
didn't have one, but when I was doing Baked, we were in that area.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I know about Detroit besides Eminem and 8 Mile.
It's great. It's a really fun city. I really hope people come out. We have a good show. It's such a good spot.
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't think I've ever performed in Detroit.
Yeah, because it was only the Comedy Castle.
Yeah.
And that guy only books you once every 6 years.
Yeah.
So I had to make another play. So
this is a cool place. There's a lot of cool acts at the Majestic.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's going to be good. No, Matt's coming in like in the afternoon, like 1 in the afternoon to do my morning show.
Nice.
And so we'll pre-record it.
Yeah.
Kevin Nealon did that today.
Oh, cool.
He's like, I'd love to do the show. No, I'm not coming in at 7:30. Absolutely not.
So hopefully you can get to the point where it's like, we should really do this show at noon to get these higher caliber guests.
You know, there's something to that. Here's the thing. We pre-record a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows that we're pre-recording them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I think more people watch your YouTube, like at least for Seinfeld. And you can, that's the one thing is like, you can totally tell, you know, even if you've got a 4K camera, it's early. So it's like, that's why those people.
You can tell everyone's sleepy looking.
Yeah. Like that's why I was like, I had a hat and glasses on because I was like, I know that I'm going to look tired.
That's
when I go
hilarious.
In there.
That's so funny. We had one act and she was like, no cameras.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. She was like, no. And I guess it's pretty smart. I don't know if people care, but yeah, no, we had Leno in last week. That was really fun.
Right.
And
the Seinfeld clip's really good.
Bill Burr's blew up.
Oh, okay.
A couple million people saw that one.
I like the Gaffigan one, too.
Yeah, Gabriel Iglesias was really fun. Joe Coy was great. They had a lot of really great people. Paula Poundstone.
Oh, that's right.
That was the best.
We should just go on a tour with her.
I know. 16 Diet Cokes a day.
That's crazy.
How many do you have? 8?
Well, that's the funny thing is like your partner don't know if I'm allowed to mention her on this.
Yeah, sure.
She was the one that gave me the big talking to about Diet Coke.
And, she did?
And I will say that it was like, there's probably 7 people that have basically said, like, you're going to die from drinking that.
Uh-huh.
And they're all people that are, like...
abusing other things?
Are eating a pixie stick while they're telling me.
Yeah, I know. Paula, though, brought a cooler with her.
That's pretty crazy.
At 7 in the morning. Because she keeps her Diet Cokes with her.
I do a thing where I have one... It's almost like having the bottle of water on the stage. Like, yeah. You never use it.
Uh-huh.
So, like, this I'll never drink, but I just have it here usually.
It's like your friend.
Yeah.
It's like me with a coffee cup.
So I don't...
It's an addiction.
I wouldn't say that I probably have 5, 5 or 6, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. That's a lot. Paul is 16.
Yeah, that's crazy. But, I mean, I drink a lot. I probably have 5 or 6 waters and, like, 3 or 4 Gatorades. That's all I drink.
You drink a lot during a day.
Yeah, yeah. I like drinking stuff.
Coffee and water. That's all I drink. Maybe orange juice at one point.
Ginger ale. You a ginger ale person?
It's fine. I never order it.
What? That would have helped your voice.
Yeah, you're
ginger,
right.
Ginger, soothing.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Did you find any new special teas, or you just had this fireball thing?
The fireball was the big thing. And someone called the radio show today and said orange juice with cayenne and gargle that.
I heard somebody was trying to say
that. Yeah, that sounded pretty intense.
Well, there's something about it that, like, if your throat is dry, something weird like that will, like, make your, like, lubricate your throat. But it's only, like, a stunt type of thing. Like, if you're a singer or something.
Bit. Yeah, yeah. Tea, lemon, all those things. It's so funny because you don't think about any of these things until you actually have the cold.
Right.
And then you're out of your mind and you're just like reeling and you're on the internet and you're out talking to friends and you're just, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's no like you should be planning it when you're healthy.
Right.
To be like, okay, I'm going to get some of these things and keep them in the closet and be ready. But you never think that. No one ever thinks that way. It's just when it hits, and then it's like, what am I going to take?
Right. But the worst thing is, like, you know, there's no worse feeling than, like, being in a hotel where there's, like, nothing.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And you're just like, if you wanted to get tea, you couldn't.
Yeah.
You have to deal with whatever they have, and you're paying $9 for a bottle of water.
Well, I was in Soho at this nice hotel, and I...
That's great, being in New York, so at least you could go somewhere.
Yeah, and got tea and... We probably paid $28 for a cup of tea. Well, it was great. Well, thank you for coming along. That was a great time doing the special.
We had
so much
job,
support
man.
From all the friends and family and fans, and it really couldn't have gone any better. It was totally...
Yeah, everybody wants it done, like, now. There's already people saying, like, when's it going to be done?
Yeah, exactly. I know. We'll start getting the cuts of it. Hopefully, it'll edit together well. I'm just letting my buddy Greg... kind of handle that for now.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to think about it until.
Like a Christmas Day release, like a present from Tom Papa?
I think they've got everything
planned out.
Yeah, because Michelle Wolf is doing one, and she's recorded it a while ago, and that's not coming out till December.
Okay,
so yeah, I think it's going to be probably the spring.
Did you see the Dolomite movie yet?
No,
it's really good.
Is it?
Yeah, it was pretty like. Yeah, it was definitely cool. Did you ever see Bowfinger?
Yes.
It was a little reminiscent of that.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They're definitely two of the same type of guys.
Right.
But yeah, he's really good. And
oh,
Eddie,
cool.
Eddie was great.
Oh, nice. I got to see it.
He'll dig it.
Cool, man. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Hope you're doing well. Come see Paul and I in Detroit. Go to paulisawebsite.com. Look up all of his dates. Go to tompapa.com and find out all of mine. And that's it. Enjoy your life.